This week's parasha is Parashas Naso. I want to dedicate this for Refuah Shlema of Rivka Chana Bat Zippora Navadina Bas Sterna and Chaim Baruch Ben Rachel Malka Leishal of Refuah Shlema. So we've just completed the holiday of Shavuot, not just, but we're still in the idea of Tashlumin, of which means that we're still connected to the holiday. And then we come to Parashas Naso, which has a lot going on. It's the longest parasha, 176 psukim, which is, we see that idea of 176, where we want to see the longest. We'll see the longest mesecht in Shas is also Bava Basra, and the longest parak in Tehillim, I think, also is 176. But either way, this parasha has a lot going on, and one of the things that is kind of subtle, it's not overt, but it's there, is the fact that this is the Torah's attempt to tell us the story of the day of the dedication of the tabernacle, which really comes at the end of the parsha. We have the famous, the Torah actually reads out for us the 12 different offerings that were brought by the 12 different heads of tribes, starting with Nachshon from the tribe of Judah, going through each one, the Torah, which usually is very careful not to add anything extra. And here we see that the Torah goes out of its way to list exactly every detail of each karbon, of each sacrifice offering that was brought by each of the heads of tribes, and the strangest thing is it's exactly the same. So here we are. The Torah could have just read it out one time for us and said, and the next 11 brought the exact same thing. The question is, why does the Torah go out of its way to tell us in detail exactly what each one brought? So an unbelievable idea. One thing that we take away from here is that what we learn from this is that each one brought the exact identical sacrifice. The Torah is reading it out and telling us what each one brought, even though it's exactly the same, but actually goes out of its way to list it, is to explain to us that it's true that they all did the same thing, but their intent was unique to each one. Each one came with its own, each one had his own intent in mind. As a matter of fact, I heard an idea that each one actually came without discussing. There was no comparing and contrasting. That each one came and on their own brought the exact same thing. And miraculously, even though each one was coming from a different perspective, for example, the tribe of Judah was always focused on the idea of royalty and of, you know, so anything based about royalty, and that's their motivation, that's what they're thinking. They brought this list of karbanot, of the offering, and then comes Yisachar, his focus is on Torah. Zevulun is focused on business. Each one has their own focus, but at the end of the day, they all ended up bringing the exact same offering. But the takeaway for us is the idea that what's most important is the intent of what each one of us has makes a difference and needs to be expressed. And therefore the Torah goes out of its way and doesn't cut anything short, but says, I need to list for you each one of these karbanot. They get to the end, the same conclusion, but you should know each one had his own different kavanah, his own intent that was unique. And I'm going to tell you exactly every detail, because you need to know that that makes a difference. It matters. So that each one of us, as we were sitting by Har Sinai, we heard God's message. We all each heard it a little bit differently, because we each are unique and have our own way of understanding. And so therefore, we see that here, this comes through, that the idea of what we have in mind, what each one of us has in mind, makes a difference. And the Torah is highlighting that for us. It's a very important takeaway. And just I wanted to finish, beautiful idea, that when it tells us that what comes before this is the Birchat Kohanim. So the first line after Hashem instructs Moshe to tell, Daber el Aaron ve'el banav le'mor, speak to Aaron and his sons, Ko sivarchu et b'nei Yisrael, thus shall you bless the people of Israel, and mor lahem, say to them. What do you have to tell me that? Thus, Ko sivarchu et b'nei Yisrael, you should there. This is how you should bless the people. And mor lahem is completely superfluous. It's so extra, it's not necessary. Why does the Torah feel it necessary to tell us additionally, meaning bless them, and this is what you should, and say to them? So Rashi picks up on this, and he says three different things. First, it's an instruction. This is what you should do. But also that you should make sure that they all, who as they bless, they should hear. And so too, and more, Rashi says, Malay whole, lo tevarchim b'chipazon u'behalut, ela b'kavana u'belev shalem. It should not be a rush job. It should be said slowly, with intent, and with a full heart. And so, again, this idea of intent is coming as a pre to the idea of what the Nesi'im, of what the heads of the tribes each brought, because the intent is what matter, and therefore the detail is given. And so the blessing also should be that, just as it says in the Birchas Kohanim, that Hashem should bless us and protect us. He should shine his face, Ya'er Panav, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha, and should be Vichuneka, and should be gracious with us. And then so too, Hashem should show favor to us. Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, V'yasem Lecha Shalom. And there's no greater thing than that God should give us peace, and that we should, ultimately, all the blessing is predicated on. There's no greater kli, there's no greater vessel for the blessing than that of peace. And so, in these crazy times, Hashem should bless us, all of Klal Yisrael, wherever we are, with the blessing of peace, and He should look on us with favor, that we shouldn't have this darkness of a Hester upon Him, but rather, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha, that Hashem should illuminate His face towards us, and then, in turn, we should feel Yichunekah, and we should feel His grace, His graciousness. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.